Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of Zechariah. The Old Testament passage of Zechariah and chapter number 5. The Old Testament passage of Zechariah chapter 5. Now, as you could recall, the context that we're in is that the temple has been partially rebuilt. The foundation is laid there, but it's been laid dormant for 15 years. That one excuse or another, the people have not come and built the house of the Lord as they were instructed. So God sends two preachers, Haggai and Zechariah, to preach to the people. And by the preaching of God's word, it was to have people to make decisions to go and follow after Jesus, to go ahead and rise up and do the labor that God expected them to do. The older preacher, Zechariah, was more direct and said, just build, just go. Or Haggai, the older preacher, said, build, build, build. It was a shorter book. The younger preacher, Zechariah, God had him have several visions. And with these visions, they were to encourage the people to rise up and build. And through the beginning part of Zechariah, we see these 8 visions where the angel has been guiding Zechariah to one vision to another. And during the time, Zechariah has been able to ask questions and say, what's this? What's this? What's this? Now, as we come to the book of Zechariah, chapter number 5, we see 2 more visions that the angel shows Zechariah to go back and give to the people to encourage them. And notice with me in the book of Zechariah, chapter 5, and just as a warning that this is going to be a little bit harder, a little bit more strange. One of those ones when you first read, you look like a calf at a new gate, kind of going, huh? So you be with me, and with the Lord's help, we're going to try to make this make sense. Notice with me Zechariah chapter 5 and verse 1. Then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked and beheld a flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, and I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off as this side, according to it. And as every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side, according to it. And I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with timber thereof, and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talketh with me went forth, and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes, and see, what is this that goeth forth? And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. And he said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted a talent of lead. This is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephod. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it in the midst of the ephod, and cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out 2 women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephod between the earth and heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephod? And he said unto me, to build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, when you mark a phrase that we see twice in the very beginning of Zechariah chapter 5, Zechariah chapter 5, and notice with me in verse 1 where it says a flying roll, and then once again in verse number 2, a flying roll. And just as a heads up, a flying roll is actually a scroll, so it's not a bread roll, it's a scroll. And so for clarity's sake, we're going to preach today on the flying scroll. on the flying scroll. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And we've already had a good service so far. The singing has been good. The prayer's been good. And now as we come to the preaching of your word, I recognize with a passage such as this, I need you. I dare not trust my own. Lord, you wrote the book. The Holy Spirit who lives with inside of me wrote this book. And so it is easy for me to go to the author of the book and say, show me what you meant by this. Explain by your Holy Spirit. Show it. Make it sense. Help us to understand what you meant when you penned this, what you intended to teach, and how we could apply it to ourselves. I very much recognize my dependence upon you. I need you. So again, the best I know how, I surrender myself to you, my mind, my intellect, what I think. And I ask that you fill me with your precious Spirit, that you would make it clear as possible for these dear folks. And not only make it clear, but also encourage these folks in the midst of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you don't mind, let's examine these two specific visions that Zechariah is given in chapter number 5. The first thing I'd like to show you here is the scroll. The scroll. In chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Then I," that's Zechariah, "turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying scroll." Now, we understand that he's having a vision. This isn't real life. He's having a vision. And so laws of gravity and whatever else is kind of like a dream, all right? So rules don't necessarily apply. And so the angel says, "Hey, look," and look up. There's a flying scroll. Can you imagine a big, huge piece of paper flying in the air? Hey, that's weird. That's something there. And so, verse 2, "And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I said, I see a flying roll." Now, here's the length of it. "The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Now, we don't use cubits as a normal everyday measurement, but a standard cubit is going to be from your fingertip to your elbow. They usually make a standard cubit 18 inches. So what we have is 20 by 18, or 20 times 18, and then the breadth is 10 times 18. If you're going to summarize this, it's going to be about 30 feet long by 15 feet wide. 30 feet long by 15 feet wide, which it just so happens is the same dimensions as the holy place in the tabernacle. The Holy of the Holies, or the holy place. It is also the same exact dimensions inside of the temple where the porch was, where people would read the law to the rest of the people. So all of this is, again, is matching God's holiness, and it's giving an idea that this is the law. And so notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 3. "And then said to me, this is the curse that goeth forth of the face of the earth. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side, according to it. And every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on the other side, according to it." Now, what happens is that Zechariah is looking, and up in the air is a big floating piece of paper, a scroll. And it is huge. It is a 30 foot by 15 foot long piece of paper. That's a pretty big piece of paper, right? And what this piece of paper has, it says that on one side, it speaks about that it says, "Thou shalt not steal." And if you flip the paper over, it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," which if you recognize, those are the Ten Commandments. In fact, those are the middle verses in each part of the Ten Commandments. Remember in the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments deal with man's relationship with God, right? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." It speaks about that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It says that thou shalt not make any graven image. And then to keep the Sabbath, or to honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. All right? So those deal with our relationship with God. And so the middle commandment is that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So one side is dealing with the first four commandments. On the other side is the other ten commandments, the other six. And the middle verse of that one is, thou shall not steal. So what is floating above here is the law, the Ten Commandments. On one side is one table, on the other side is the other table of law. This is the law that's floating. And we also understand from the Bible and from what we preached before is that the law brings forth death. That the penalty for breaking any of the commandments is death. So this is not a good piece of paper. It tells us where we failed. Remember, right beside the Ten Commandments, you could put in big, bold boxcar letters, I need Jesus. Because we failed in every single one of them. And every single one of those law that we've broken deserves a punishment or, and the Bible says, a curse. And so the first thing we see is this scroll. It's representative of the entire law, not just parts of it. One side deals with our relationship with God. The other side deals with our relationship with man. This scroll is flying. All right. So now we got a flying scroll. After that, we come to the idea of a curse. The curse. Notice again in verse number three. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and everyone that swears shall be cut off as on this that side according to it, and I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of a thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with its timber thereof, and the stones thereof. All right? So now we have the Ten Commandments. And with each of the Ten Commandments, there is a curse or the penalty. We understand in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Remember, a wage is something we earn. For example, when we go to work, we earn money. We call that a wage or a payment. The Bible says for the wages of sin. Sin is breaking God's law. Because we broke God's law, there is a curse. There is a wage. There is a payment that is required. And I want to tell you something. God's payment must be made. Here it carries the idea that a thief, someone who stole, which is breaking one of God's Ten Commandments, he goes into his house and say, you know what? God can't get me here. This is my house. I'm protected. And the Bible says, guess what? God's curse can reach you in your house. It goes to the house of the one who took the Lord's name in vain. And guess what? God can reach you in that house as well. You know, there's nowhere you can go to escape God's punishment. There is nowhere you can go. There's nothing you can do to run away to avoid the punishment that is required to you. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. No exceptions. Everyone who told a lie, you deserve death. Everyone who took the Lord's name in vain, you deserve death. And there's nowhere you can go. You say, I know, I am going to get on a boat and I'm going to go to Antarctica. And God can't find me there. God can find you there. You say, I know, I'm going to find the deepest cave I could possibly get into. God can't find me there. God can find you there. You say, I know, I'm going to get provisions and I'm going to live in a hot air balloon all the rest of my life. God can find you there. It doesn't matter where your cabin in the woods is. God can find you there. You understand that you owe God a debt. And one day that penalty has to be paid for. For the wages of sin is death. The curse is coming. There is a penalty you owe God. And there's nothing you can do to avoid it. You can live a good life all the rest of your life, and you still owe God that wage, that payment. You say, well, that's quite bad news. It is. And so with that, we've covered the scroll, which is the law, and we covered the curse that because we broke the law, we deserve a punishment. Now let's come to the idea of the woman in the basket. The woman in the basket. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 5. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said with me, lift up now thine eyes and see what it is that goeth forth. So after watching the scroll fly around, then we hear the message from God that says, hey, it doesn't matter where you go, the curse is still required. And then the angel says, all right, now let's look over here. What do you see? Verse number 6. And I said, what is it? And he said, it is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. So he says, look over there. What do you see? He says, what is it? He says, that's an ephah. Now, an ephah was the largest dry measure. You know what a measure is. It's kind of like a, if you're going to measure grain, all right, you're going to have oatmeal in the morning, you would measure it out in a measuring cup. That's a dry measure, all right? And so an ephah is the largest dry measure among the Jewish people. So what this is a basket that could hold grains and whatnot, and it would be equivalent to about 39 quarts. So I want you to think in your mind that this is a basket that holds 39 quarts. If you want to find out how many gallons that is, divide it by 4, right? Because there's 4 quarts in a gallon. So imagine right here, we have a basket that can hold 39 quarts. All right, so that's an amazing thing, right? Here's a basket. It's a big basket. So what? Notice, if you don't mind, as it goes on. Verse number 7, and behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. All right, so we have a big basket. So just imagine like a weaved basket. And on top of the basket, there's a lid that's closed. And there is on top of it a talent of lead. All right. So for visual illustration, I want you to imagine on top of it is a big weight, you know, like if you were going to put on a weightlifter's bar. So a big round disc. So just imagine that. And it's holding the lid of this ephod down. So a big basket with a lid on it and a weight holding something inside of the basket. All right. Interesting. Let's see what else it says. Verse 7, and behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephod. So he says, hey, you want to see what's in the basket? Let's lift it up. And you looked up. Hey, there's a woman inside of it. There's a woman in the midst of the basket that's held down with a piece of lead. What in the world is going on? All right, let's see what else. Verse number 8. And he said, this is wickedness. So he goes, all right, you want to see what's in the basket? Let's lift it up. There's a woman in it. He says, this is wickedness. Hi, wickedness. Close the lid, put the basket. Wickedness is inside of there. Strange. Strange. Notice as it goes on, verse 8. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it in the midst of the ephod and cast the weight of lead on the mouth thereof. So basically, he closed the lid. Wickedness is inside. Sorry, wickedness, you can't get out. All right, so you got a basket full of wickedness that's sealed up. What do you do with it? Verse number 9. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out 2 women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up an ephod between the earth and the heaven. Now, by the way, these are not angels. This is a vision, and this is a strange thing. These are actually women with things on it. They're not angels, but it's a picture. So what happens is that these 2 women with wind in their wings come by, and they grab the basket. This basket is a big basket that has a lady in it named Wickedness. It's sealed. They grab the basket. Now notice what happens. And I lifted up mine eyes, and behold, there came out 2 women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephod between the earth and the heaven. So these ladies with wings picked up the basket with wickedness inside, and it sealed up, and they began to fly away. Where do they go? Verse 10. Then I said to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephod? Which is what I just said in our today's language. Where do they go? Where are they taking it? You got a woman inside of the basket named Wickedness. It's sealed. These other 2 ladies fly away with it. Where's he taking Wickedness? Where's he taking? Where's it going? Verse number 10. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, where do these bear the ephod? And he said unto me, to build it a house. Oh, that's nice. You're going to go build Wickedness a house, right? going to go build it a house in the land of Shinar. If you're not familiar with Bible terminology, this is Babylon. So we're going to go bring it to Babylon, and it shall be established and there set and set there upon her own base. All right. So here's the picture. We got a woman inside of a basket that's sealed. These other two ladies with wings pick up the basket and fly away. And they're going to go build it a house in Babylon away from here. What in the world does this mean? Good. I'd ask you to guess, but I'm sure I wouldn't get any answers. What in the world? I mean, is this pepperoni pizza that's affecting Zechariah? I mean, he was having good visions and all of a sudden, you know, the pepperoni pizza cake. What's happening here? Well, remember, we try to take it as a whole. The first vision has the idea of a flying scroll, okay? So we got the flying scroll that represents the law. And because we broke the law, there's a curse to the law. That doesn't matter where you go, guess what? You owe God the penalty of death. That death must be paid for. I told you the bad news. You want to know what the good news is? Is that God is able to take wickedness away from us and to bring it far away from us and establish it somewhere where we are not. You know what God did with our sins when we accepted Him as Savior? He buried them in the deepest sea. He cast them as far as the east is from the west. He brought them somewhere where we're not. You want to know something great? We owe God a punishment. But the good news is God finished off the verse in Romans 6:23 where He said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The good news is that even though we owe God punishment, that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God took wickedness and the penalty you owed God, and He sent it far away, somewhere where we are not, and brought it away from us. That Jesus paid the penalty for us and will never owe God that penalty ever again. Isn't that some encouraging things? These people needed to be encouraged by that to say, hey, we're serving the Lord, but God is doing something for us. Remember, these people are asked to build the house of the Lord. And after a while, they got tired. They didn't want to do it anymore. They were weary in well-doing. But they forgot an important principle. That, you know, sometimes people try to serve God in order to get something from God. So I want things better in my life, so I've served God, and then God will make things better. I need $100, so I'll go ahead and serve God this week, and I'll expect the $100. You see, we don't serve God in order to get something from Him. I serve Him because of what He's already done for me. I serve Him out of love, not out of duty. I get to go to church. I don't have to. I get to read my Bible. I don't have to. You want to know why? Because God has taken sin from me. I am a thankful person. This is encouragement to those people. Why should I build God's house? Because of what Christ has done for you. Is it such a big deal to serve Him? No, it's not, after you realize all that He did for me. He took wickedness away from me. I'll never owe God the debt of hell ever again. You know what that does? It makes me want to serve Him more. Thinking about all that He's done for me. What a great God. What a great Savior. And all of this is a visual representation. Zechariah is seeing in visual form, trying to get all these things, which the Bible talks about later. That for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That God took our sins far from us because of the shed blood from Jesus. And that sin, that wickedness is far away from us. As an application, because of what He's done for me, I should be thankful to serve Him. I should be glad to serve Him. It's not a big deal. The Bible talks about in 1 John, the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. I don't have to obey God. I get to obey. You see, what God is doing is trying to do an attitude adjustment with them. Trying to let them know that it's a blessing to serve, not a drudgery. We have to guard our own hearts because there are times that we get our eyes off the Lord and we get our eyes on us, the circumstances and whatever else. We can get to the place where serving God becomes boring, old, mundane. We can get to the place where serving God becomes inconvenient. And it comes to the place where it's a burden, where it's in the way. The reason why we get there, and we have to guard ourselves because we're all capable of doing that. We have to make sure where our eyes are at. Our eyes need to be on the Lord, remembering all He's done for me. It's not a big deal to serve God after thinking and realizing He died for me. The least I can do is live for Him. It's the least I can do. What a wonderful God that we have. I don't have to belabor this anymore. And let me tell you, a lot of commentators have a hard time explaining this. They look at this and go, what in the world? And to be honest, even when I was studying and I scratched my old head for a little bit and said, all right. But I'm thankful that God can make it clear, that God can draw a picture and give us a visual representation. I'd rather just say Romans 6:23 myself. That for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But what's the application again? We realize that God hates sin, but because of Jesus Christ, He's driven it far from us. And that we need to serve God out of a grateful heart of who He is. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.